So I'll encourage you to grab a Bible, and you can get ready to flip around a little bit. You might notice that we're doing something a little bit different this morning. Usually we spend time singing and worshiping together, and then we dive into the Word of God afterwards. But this morning we're actually doing the opposite. We want to spend some time in the Word together, and then we actually want to respond in singing. So we are on week three of our series, The Worshiping Church, a six-week short little series about worship. And so we've wanted to ask, well, what is worship? Why do we do it? How do we worship? Why does that matter? And so in week one, just as a recap, we asked the question, well, what is worship? And so we covered a few things. All human beings are worshipers, meaning we all worship something every single day. And so none of us have the option to just say, well, no, I don't worship anything. We were created as worshipers. And so the question is, well, then what or who will we worship? Biblical worship is not something that we do for God, but it's always a response to what God has done for us. And biblical worship, genuine worship, real worship, like Jesus says, is done in spirit and in truth, meaning we worship empowered and made alive by the Holy Spirit, and we worship centered and grounded on the Word. And then we talked about in that first week that worship is more than just singing. It can be confession of sin, repentance, reading scripture aloud, and it can be the things that we do, the good deeds in our lives can be worship as well. So week two, so last week we talked about worship in heaven, and we looked at Revelation chapter 4 and 5, where we see probably, I think, the clearest picture of worship going on in the throne room of heaven. And so I won't recap all of that for you, but I'll encourage you to go back and listen if you missed last week's message. But when you and I have a clear vision of worship in heaven, I think that it shapes and it clears our vision on earth. And so part of a biblical worldview and part of us being a worshiping church and you being a worshiper means having that clear vision. So this week, we want to ask a really practical question. Why do we sing? I think I've tried to be really intentional these last 2 weeks to stress that worship is much more than singing, because I think if we're not careful, when you and I think about worship, it can quickly become, well, that's what happens when we sing on Sundays. That's worship. But we've said, you know, in these last couple of weeks, worship is so much more than just that. I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians 10, 31, Paul says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So worship, like we said, it can be prayer and reading scripture and confessing sin and the deeds that we do throughout our everyday lives. So although you've heard me say, you know, worship is more than singing, I hope you haven't thought that I'm trying to diminish the importance of singing. Like what happens when Jesus followers gather corporately and we together lift our voices is massively important. Martin Luther, who many of you know, the great reformer, we often remember him for his, you know, love of theology, his love of the gospel, for, you know, his 95 theses and a lot of his theological work that he did. But Luther loved congregational singing. And he actually wrote a foreword to a collection of songs, like a hymn book almost. And this is what he said in that foreword to that book. He said, when man's natural ability is whetted and polished to the extent that it becomes an art, then do we note with great surprise the great and perfect wisdom of God in music, which is, after all, his product and his gift. We marvel when we hear music in which one voice sings a simple melody while three or four or five other voices play in trip lustily around the voice that sings its simple melody and adorns this simple melody wonderfully with artistic musical effects, thus reminding us of a heavenly dance where all meet in a spirit of friendliness, caress, and embrace. A person who gives this some thought and yet does not regard it, music, as a marvelous creation of God must be a clodhopper indeed and does not deserve to be called a human being. He should be permitted to hear nothing but the braying of asses and the grunting of hogs. Which I go like, wow, tell us how you really feel, Luther. Now, I don't agree necessarily with old Marty here that if you don't like music, you're not a human. But you gotta love his passion for singing and for music. Right? He loved it. He said, when you hear someone sing and four or five other voices sing around that melody, he says, if that doesn't move you, you're not a human being, is basically what he says. But here's the thing. The Bible is full of singing. There are over 400 references to singing in the Bible, and there's actually 50 direct commands to sing found in here. The longest book of the Bible, the Psalms, is actually a book of songs and poems. So there is something very biblical about singing. And so this morning we want to ask two questions, basically. Why do we sing? And then conversely, why don't we sing? Right? Biblically, why do we sing? Is there a biblical precedent for singing? And then if that's true, well then why don't you and I sing? Again, oftentimes discussions of singing in church very quickly leads to debates over musical style and preference. And we're actually not going to talk about any of that this morning because I don't think any of that is fruitful. Many of you actually have lived through the so-called, you know, worship wars, right? And really that was a debate over hymns or choruses or newer songs, and that caused much division and church splits and hurt feelings. And more often than not, those issues, right, the whole worship wars issue was an issue of form. It wasn't about worship. It should have been called the musical style wars, not worship wars, because it was about style, not about worship, right? And so the thing we need to remember as Christians is the gospel unites us as believers, not musical preference. The form is not the issue. The issue is whether or not the excellency of Jesus is seen. And even in our church a bit, we've been very blessed these last however many years. It hasn't been an issue for most of us. We go, man, I love hymns and I love newer songs, and whatever song can like glorify Jesus and fit what we're talking about, let's sing that, right? Now, I know for some of you, singing is not a big part of your life. I've spoken with some of you where singing, it's just not your thing. Right? Either you think I don't have a good enough voice, or I often hear no one wants to hear me sing, or some of you just don't enjoy singing or music or whatever else. Right? You might have a thought in your mind about that. I remember my brother-in-law. He was a guy that just did not. Really, it's not like he didn't enjoy music, he just wasn't musical. And I remember he had about an hour commute for his job. And so I asked him, like, what do you do on that hour commute? I said, what do you got like to listen to? And he said, I don't listen to anything. And I said, for an hour? You just sit in your car? What do you do? Well, I just drive. And for me, right, I love music. And I just couldn't compute that for an hour he would just sit and not listen to anything. And so some of you are like that, and that's fine, right? Some of you, music just doesn't connect with your type of personality. I know even for Sunday worship, when we gather and we sing, when we were gathering in person, I know, I'm not going to name names, but I know there's some of you who, I'm just going to come a little bit late, and then after the message, I'm just going to sneak out a little bit. The singing is just not my thing. I know some of you now, when we're live streaming, you're like, well, okay, it starts at 9:45, I'm going to tune in at 10:15 and just kind of catch the message. I know some of you do that because for whatever reason, some of us, the singing part just doesn't connect in the same way. But here's what Harold Best said. He put it best this way. He says, singing is not an option for the Christian. No one is excused. And vocal skill is not a criterion. So Harold Best said that singing is not an option if you're a follower of Jesus. And the idea that, I'm just not skilled vocally is actually not an excuse, biblically speaking. Now, my hope and prayer for this morning is that none of us are guilted into singing, right? With anything in the Christian life, we can have begrudging obedience about things, and we go, fine, if I have to, Jesus, I will obey in this. And that never produces lasting life change. So my goal this morning is not to just like guilt you into singing. That's not the goal. My hope for this morning is that we would see a biblical case for singing and what it actually does in our lives and in our church. And then hopefully when you and I understand the gospel more and more, we will just be naturally a singing people. John Piper said this: singing is the Christian's way of saying, God is so great that thinking will not suffice. There must be deep feeling. And talking will not suffice. There must be singing. Isn't that good? He says, God is just so magnificent and great and glorious that just thinking about him isn't enough. There has to be feelings connected to it. And just talking about God in certain cases is just not enough. There has to be singing. So why do we sing? I want to give you 7 reasons from Scripture why we sing as followers of Jesus. And then we'll end with, why we don't sing, and then the challenge against that. So why do we sing? First, the first reason is this: we sing because we serve a God who sings. Have you ever thought about that? God, we're told in Scripture, is a God who sings. Zephaniah 3:17 says this: the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Like, isn't that amazing? I think most of the time when you and I think of singing, it's us singing to God. And that's very true. But the Bible tells us in Zephaniah that God actually sings over us, right? He quiets us by his love. He exalts over his people, over the redeemed, with loud singing, right? Not just singing, loud singing. Jesus sang. We're told that on the night of his crucifixion, Jesus sang hymns with his disciples. In Matthew 26, it says, I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's house. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So Jesus sang with his disciples. Can you imagine like hearing Jesus sing? He's probably like, I'll just do all the harmonies myself or whatever, right? And then in Hebrews 2:12, the author of Hebrews quotes Psalm 22 and he applies it to Jesus. Hebrews 2 says, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he, that's Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. So the author of Hebrews gives this picture of Jesus singing the praise of God the Father in the midst of the congregation. So one of the big reasons that we sing is because God himself is a God who sings. And so you and I, human beings who are created in the image of God, meaning we're meant to reflect him and to image him, well, we want to be like him, right? We want to reflect who God is to the world. And so when we sing, we're actually pointing people to our God who sings. Secondly, we sing because God commands us to sing. If we want to be obedient to God, part of that obedience involves singing. Psalm 96 says this, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day." Psalm 47:6 says, "Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises." So in three verses in the Bible, we're commanded to sing seven times. Isn't that amazing? Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Those are commands in Scripture. So like I said earlier, and we won't look at all of them, but there's 50 direct commandments in the Bible for us to sing. So part of being a follower of Jesus is because of the gospel, because of what Jesus has done for us, there's this growing desire as the Holy Spirit sanctifies you that you want to obey Jesus and you want to please him, not to earn favor from him or to prove anything or to earn your salvation, but it's just a response to the salvation that's been given to you. So if there is any longing to obey Jesus, part of that obedience involves singing. So think about that. Now, again, like we don't then go, fine, I guess if I want to obey Jesus, I'll sing. But really, if you want to be a follower of Jesus who from your heart seeks to obey him, part of that is singing, right? So if you're a believer who just refuses to sing, you're disobeying Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That God cares so much about singing that it's actually commanded for us to do that. Thirdly, we sing because of who God is and what he's done and what he will do. I think like John Piper says, when we sing, the reason that we spend time singing is because there's certain things, like words that are spoken alone and our thoughts alone sometimes can't describe our love of God and how good he is to us. I think singing is just a natural response when we get a glimpse of who God is. So when we gather together and you think about that apart from the substitutionary death of Jesus, that you would be under God's righteous and just judgment and condemnation forever, but you aren't because of his great love towards you. I mean, that is reason to sing. When you think we were enemies of God, captive to our own depravity and our own sin, that you and I are unable to please God, that by nature, because of sin, we're actually haters of God, and God in his mercy sent his son to save us. Like, that is reason to sing, right? So we sing because of God's character, who he is, his love, his mercy, his grace, his patience, his sovereignty, his power. We sing because of what he's done, our redemption in Jesus, and then we sing because one day Jesus is coming back to restore all things. So really, we sing because of the gospel. And notice, even from last week, worship in heaven is gospel-centered, right? Worship in heaven is actually centered around our redemption. Worship in heaven is, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to redeem mankind." So worship in heaven is centered around who Jesus is and what he has accomplished. And it's the same with our musical worship on earth. So we sing because of who God is and what he's done and what he will do. Fourthly, we sing because it helps us engage emotionally with words. Singing connects the words that we sing to our hearts. It actually engages our emotions. Like I said earlier, for lots of us, this comes naturally, right? Music just moves us in subtle and sometimes very profound ways. It's like, you know, the words of the songs are good, but then the music comes along and it heightens our emotional impact in a way that words alone can't necessarily do. And we're going to get into why that's not emotionalism, but it's just emotions. And so we take longer as we sing to think about the words that we're singing. Oftentimes we repeat choruses or verses or bridges, and what we're doing in that moment is we're spending time singing and meditating on the words that we're saying. So for example, I could say this, I could read this off the page. For on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. And those words are true and they're powerful. But when we gather, right, and we sing, you know, I'm not going to do all of it. But on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, right? For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. And you sing that, there's something about singing it and not just saying it. Right? All of us, we just get filled with emotion when we sing those words, and it moves us. Now, here's why that's so connected to our biblical worldview. An atheist has no answer for the inner stirrings that happen when you and I behold something beautiful. There is no atheistic, naturalistic answer to why music and song stirs our hearts, or why art can bring tears to our eyes. I mean, scientifically, you can explain what makes a sunset happen, and you can explain, you know, how sound waves, you know, leave and enter into your ear canal. You can explain those things, but you cannot scientifically explain why a sunrise or why a piece of music stirs your heart. There is no naturalistic explanation for that. So singing then helps us take truth, true words, and it helps us engage not just our minds, but our hearts and our emotions as well. That is why we sing. Fifthly, we sing because it helps us remember the gospel, right? Singing helps us remember words. Apart from, gospel singing, have you ever noticed how long you will remember the lyrics to a song from 10, 15, 20 years ago even? So one of the ways that I know I'm getting older is that the music in the grocery stores is really good now, right? Isn't it? All of these 90s hits, I'm like, oh, I love grocery shopping. Even, you can ask my wife, on Friday we went, and we went, man, hit after hit in Save on Foods. This is great, right? Alanis Morissette, and then the theme song from the Bodyguard movie, right? Whitney Houston. We're just like, I could grocery shop all day. This is amazing. Now, here's what's even more amazing. I'm in the grocery store on Friday, and a song comes on that I probably haven't listened to for 10 years, and I still know most of the lyrics, right? And you sing along. Isn't that amazing? There is something about words that are put to music that makes it stick in your brain. I mean, we have songs that we teach our kids with. How do we teach our kids the ABCs? In a song, right? The cleanup song. Clean up, clean up, everybody, everywhere, right? We teach our kids things in song so that they remember it. Now, here's what's amazing. God is so brilliant. He has designed us that way. In the book of Deuteronomy, we see God telling Moses to use a song to help the Israelites remember all the instructions that he had given them. Deuteronomy 31, verse 19. This is God speaking. Now, therefore, write this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the people of Israel. And when many evils and troubles have come upon them, this song shall confront them as a witness, for it will live unforgotten in the mouths of their offspring. And then in verse 22, so Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the people of Israel. And then in verse 30, then Moses spoke the words of this song until they were finished in the ears of all the assembly of Israel. Isn't that amazing? Like, God is brilliant. God says to Moses, I want you to write a song so that the Israelites remember, so that it confronts them, right? When they turn to evil and to other things. And I love that God says it's going to be a witness to them. Why? Because it's going to live unforgotten in the mouths of their children. Isn't that so true? Even if the parents forget the song, the kids are not going to forget the song. It will live unforgotten in their mouths. And it's so true. Singing and music helps us remember theological truths. I even remember one day driving with our daughters and Ruby. She was probably four. She was in the back, and I can hear her just quietly singing, "Praise the Lord, all the earth, bless His name, only one." And she's singing theological truths from Scripture, but she remembered it because it was to a song. I mean, that is why it is so important, one, that we sing together. We're reminding ourselves what we believe when we sing. And it's important, the words that we sing. We want to remember true things about Jesus. The New Testament scholar, Gordon Fee, he said this, "Show me a church's songs and I'll show you their theology." Like, do you want to know what a church believes? Then look at the songs that they sing. So even think about that. If an unbeliever came into our gathering or watched online, would they know what we believe about Jesus and salvation in the Bible through the songs that we sing? That's why each and every week we want to sing gospel-centered songs. We want to sing songs about Jesus, singing them to Jesus. So we sing because really practically, and God, I love that it's in the Bible, God designed us that way. We sing so that we can remember truths of what we believe. Sixthly, we sing because it helps us use words to demonstrate and celebrate our unity as believers. There is something about singing that binds people together. Actually, it's fascinating. Scientists have found that singing corporately, so singing with a group of people, produces a chemical change in your body that contributes to a sense of bonding together. Even think about, not even church, think about some of the strange places that we sing together, right? At sporting events, we sing about crushing the other team, right? I remember playing baseball growing up, and we would sing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the other teams went up to heaven. When they got there, they repeat, I forget our name, the Rebels can't be beat. And we're like talking about killing the other team, and they go to heaven. And we sang that, right? Like, why? Why? This is so silly. But what did it do? It bonded our baseball team together. We're like, yeah, right? Kill that other team. We sing at New Year's. Well, some maybe not so much anymore, but right? It rains and let all, whatever. I don't know any of the lyrics to that. Be for all lang syne or whatever it means. But we sing, right? Or we try to sing. We sing Christmas carols. A few years ago, in December, there's a knock on our door, and I opened up our door, and there was like 30 people in our driveway, and they started singing Christmas carols to us. Like, that's weird. But they were bonded together. I remember telling my wife, how long do we have to stand here until it's rude to go back inside? I'm cold. But this group sang Christmas carols. They went door to door, and they were caroling. Right? We sing at weddings. Sometimes we sing at funerals. We go to a restaurant on your birthday, and the singers will, or the servers will bring out an ice cream, and then they'll all have, and they all sing. And you go, why? Because there's something about singing that actually binds people together. Because we're all communicating the same thoughts, the same passions, the same intentions at the same time. Now, the Bible doesn't say, for singing to be effective, you can only sing with other people. That's just not true. You can sing by yourself, and it's just as a meaningful worship time as if you were singing with others. But here's what I find fascinating. When you read the book of Revelation and worship in heaven, you only ever see groups of people singing. There are no soloists in heaven. Only various sized choirs. So that means, here's what that means, every voice in the church matters. Not just the ones that are on stage, not just the really good sounding ones. If you've been redeemed by Jesus, you have a song to sing and you have a song to contribute to the church body. So singing demonstrates and it celebrates our unity. Lastly, we sing because it evidences the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in us. There are two times in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul tells and commands the church to sing. And both, I find it fascinating, both are connected to an internal transformation that has happened. In Colossians 3:16, it says this, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So Paul says, let the word of God dwell in you. And what is one of the outcomes of the word of God dwelling in you? Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5, he says this, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart." So Paul, again, he says, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. And what is an outcome of being filled with the Spirit? Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Jesus, Paul says, sing and make melody to Jesus with your heart. So I think you can see biblically, we are called as followers of Jesus to sing. Our God sings. God commands us to sing. We sing to remind ourselves and to remember the gospel. We sing because it helps us engage emotionally. We sing because we're demonstrating and we're celebrating unity that we have as a church. And we sing because it's an evidence and it's a natural reaction to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit living in us. So there's much in the Bible that points to the necessity of followers of Jesus singing. So then the question becomes, well, why don't we sing? Right? If biblically there's all these commands and directives and encouragements to sing, well, then why don't we? And I think there's a couple of reasons why we have a hard time singing. And again, I know that this is not speaking to everyone. Some of you, man, you maybe should not sing as much. some of you, singing is no problem. I mean, you just love it and you're saying as you're watching, yes and amen. But for some of us, singing is a little bit more difficult. And so if there is all of this command and directive to sing, and it's important, it's beneficial, then why don't we? And so I'm going to give you a couple of reasons. Number one, I think many of us would say, I can't sing. I am tone deaf. Like nobody, I'm too embarrassed. Nobody wants to hear me, you know, belt it out in church. Or maybe even some of you, maybe medically, you actually can't sing. You know, I think of my mom, for instance. She lost her voice a while back due to a surgery, and she can actually only whisper. She can't belt out worship tunes. And maybe some of you are like that. Now, some of you, maybe you're using, you know, medically, I can't sing, and then, you know, as an excuse. But here's what I would say. For those, if that's one of our excuses, I just can't sing. Ephesians 5:19, what we just looked at, it ends by saying, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So musical worship, singing, isn't about being the best at singing or having a beautiful sounding voice. It's not about volume. It's not about style. Again, I think with everything in the Christian faith, it comes down to where your heart is at. One author I read said, people hear what we sing with our voices, but God hears what we sing with our hearts. And again, with everything, it comes, you could come and you could sing as loud as you want, and yet your heart could be very far from God, right? Wasn't that was the issue with the Pharisees? I fast, I pray really loudly, and yet Jesus said, you don't even love God. Right? So you could come and you could be someone who just belts it out and your heart is very far from God. Or conversely, you could be someone who comes and you just sing quietly and yet you are making melody to Jesus in your heart. So I'd say the first thing to do is to make sure your heart is focused on the mercy and the grace of God, then to focus on the words that you are singing. Singing is a heart issue. It's not a performance issue. And yet I would also then push back a little bit, because for many of us, we just say, well, if I can't sing, then I'm not going to. I think that also is a heart issue. Secondly, I think some of us don't sing because when we gather, we just don't feel like singing. And this can be for a number of reasons. Some of us, when we're on the way to the gathering, to church, maybe you're arguing with your kids in the car, or you've received bad medical or financial news the night before, and it's very hard for some of us when we gather, and it's hard to come in and then just sing worship of Jesus. I get that. Even think about the season that we're living in. I've heard this from many people. It's just really hard to sing in my living room. I just don't feel like it. And I'll just sit and watch, but it's hard. I don't feel like just standing and singing and worshiping when I'm at home. And I understand that. But here's the deal. Worship is a choice that you actually have to make. There have been times, right, when in a gathering, I just don't feel like worshiping. You've had an argument with your spouse, or I've had a really hard week, or my kid's been up all night and I'm tired, or you just go, man, the songs that I don't connect with the songs that we're singing, or maybe that one singer is a little bit off musically, or whatever it is, right? And there have been times when I have stood in our worship gatherings and I've had to make a conscious choice. I am going to worship Jesus despite what I feel like. And the amazing thing is that the Psalms are actually full of examples of this. Psalm 13, David says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" And it ends by him saying, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me." You can almost hear David giving himself a pep talk. He begins by going, man, how long, God? How long are you going to forget me? How long do I have to go through this? But he ends by saying, I will sing to the Lord. Even Psalm 42, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. David is saying, David is speaking to himself. Like, snap out of it. Why are you so downcast? Right? And some of you, when you do that in your head, don't yell that out loud in the worship gathering, right? Why am I so? Don't do that. But some of you, you may need to do that. When you gather and you're just going, I don't feel like worshiping, you need to ask and speak to yourself and go, why are you so grumpy, my soul? Snap out of it. I will worship God. And so sometimes, and whether however long that takes, you have to make a conscious choice. Worship is not just going to happen. You have to go, I am choosing to worship Jesus today. So for some of us, we just don't like singing and we don't think we can. For some of us, we don't feel like singing. Thirdly, I think some of us don't sing or we don't engage in, you know, corporate times of musical worship because we're afraid of too much emotion. And I think for some of us, we don't like getting too emotional. And really, I think what you're afraid of is emotionalism. And emotionalism is the idea of pursuing feelings as ends in themselves, right? Emotionalism is, I just want that next high, that worship feeling that I got. And it's wanting to feel something regardless for how that feeling is produced or its ultimate purposes. And emotionalism can just assume that heightened feelings are a sign that God is present. Right? If I feel something, you know, emotionally, that must mean that God is here. And that is not the case. But emotions are good. And singing is actually meant to evoke responses to the truths that we're singing. Passionless singing is an oxymoron. Like, listen to what John Wesley said. He said, "Sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep, but lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of it being heard than when you sung the songs of Satan." So he says, like, when you sing, beware singing as if you're half dead, right? And don't sing, you know, songs throughout the rest of your week. Like, yeah, I love that he calls, like, any, you know, a song of Satan. But you sing those songs. Like, Christians, more than any other group of people, should sing the loudest and with the most emotion, because what are we singing about? singing about our redemption, our freedom from sin, the great God that we serve. We're singing about the gospel. And so John Wesley would say, belt it out. Like, let the tears flow down your face. Don't be afraid of your emotions engaging as you worship. And lastly, sometimes I believe we don't sing or we don't engage in corporate worship because many of us just don't understand or appreciate, or perhaps we've just forgotten the gospel. We aren't letting the word of Christ and the truth of the gospel dwell in our hearts. We aren't daily meditating on the gospel. We're not daily reminding ourselves who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We aren't listening to or obeying the word of God and the Spirit in our lives. And then when we gather and we sing, then our musical worship just reflects that truth. Because I really do believe that when we understand the gospel and daily you are rooted and you're grounded in that, then when you and I are just blown away by who Jesus is and when he's what he's done for us, it'll affect how we worship and how we sing. So I want to encourage you that singing is a crucial aspect of the life of a believer. And I believe that our worship in heaven, our worship in earth, our corporate gatherings, when we sing together and when we worship Jesus, it's in some way meant to prepare us for eternity when you and I will worship Jesus face to face. And our worship times musically here on earth, it's just a glimpse, a small taste of the glory to come. Because here's what's incredible. When we worship in front of Jesus in heaven, we won't have any sin to confess during our worship times. On that day, we won't have evangelism to think about anymore. We won't have to seek justice for the oppressed anymore. On that day, you won't have your children to keep in line or relational conflicts that you have to think about and work through. You won't have sinful thoughts to battle. And so I think we should long for that day when our worship and our singing before the throne of Jesus will be pure and undefiled and perfect. But in the meantime, we gather together and we sing because Jesus is worthy and because of all that it does in our lives. So we want to do just that this morning. I'll invite the worship team to come back up, and I want to pray, and then we want to just respond in song this morning. So I would encourage you that even in your homes, right, I know that many of us, the temptation is going to be, I just don't feel like singing. It's not the same. And I get that. But I would really encourage you that worship is a choice that we make. So even now in your homes, you can choose and decide, this is not the ideal, but I am going to choose to worship Jesus. Yes, my kids are running around, and maybe it's loud, and maybe the sound quality on my TV isn't great, but I'm going to choose to worship Jesus. And so I would encourage you to engage, to sing these songs together, to make much of Jesus in our homes. And really, if you're worried about your bad voice, this is the perfect time. No one can hear you besides your family. So belt it out and worship Jesus. So Jesus, I just thank you that over and over and over in your word, we are commanded and encouraged to sing. God, you are a God who sings over us. And singing together is a way that we express our unity as believers. It's a way that we remind ourselves of the truth we believe. It's a way that we remember the gospel, and we remember who you are, Jesus, and what you've done for us. And so, God, now we want to respond by singing. We want to respond to who you are and what you've done by just making much of you. So help us now. I know that as we enter into a time of singing, all of those thoughts and doubts are going to begin to creep in. I can't sing. I don't like singing. I don't feel like singing. This is too emotional. And so, God, I pray that we would just, like David, if we need to, just give ourselves a pep talk and say, no, it doesn't matter if I don't have a great voice. It doesn't matter what I feel like doing right now. It doesn't, emotions are not something to be afraid of. I'm going to enter in because Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy for me to sing. And so God, just, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just meet with us as we sing, that this would just be a beautiful time of responding to the gospel and what you've done for us. And so I just pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.